Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
SBS, a world of difference. You're with NITV Radio, on mobile, online and on radio.
We acknowledge the traditional owners of the land NITV Radio broadcasts from, the Cammeraygal people and their elders past and present. We also acknowledge all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander tribes and clans we broadcast to, from the mountains to the plains, from the desert to the sea, from fresh water to salt water. Yiridimarang, hello, I'm your host Luana Grant and welcome to NITV Radio for this Wednesday, the 24th of September. Coming up on today's show, we're joined by Wiradjuri man Geoffrey Johnson to discuss a recent shocking incident of vandalism in the central western New South Wales town of Narandra. And this Saturday in Nam, Yolngu hip-hop artist Baker Boy will be taking to the stage at the AFL Grand Final. And he joins us a little later to yarn more. And we also share what's making news within Indigenous Affairs from our NITV news team. But coming up first is the latest news for this Wednesday, the 24th of September. You're listening to NITV Radio.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
In this bulletin, authorities in the Northern Territory call for calm as they determine whether to lay charges against an officer involved in an Aboriginal man's death. Anthony Albanese confirms a meeting with the US president in October and a second-tier national football competition to be launched in Sydney. A new report has found First Nations patients are less likely to have positive experiences of care in hospital than their non-Indigenous counterparts. The report released by the Bureau of Health Information is based on the responses of more than 12,000 Aboriginal people who provided feedback on their hospital care in New South Wales between 2019 and 2024. The report says that more than a quarter of Aboriginal patients have avoided going to hospital in the past 12 months, even though they need to attend. It also found Aboriginal patients were less likely to say their cultural or religious beliefs were always respected while in hospital. Authorities in the Northern Territory have called for calm as they determine whether to lay charges against officers involved in an Aboriginal man's death in Alice Springs. Northern Territory Police on Monday said a final autopsy report into the death of Kumanjai White had been received, and a full and comprehensive police brief of evidence had been referred to the Territory's Director of Public Prosecutions, who will make the prosecutorial decision. NT Police Director of Cultural Reform, Leanne Little, says while emotions are running high, the DPP process now needs to run its course. The number of Aboriginal Australians enrolled to vote has passed 600,000 for the first time. The Australian Electoral Commission 2025 statistics show 93% of eligible Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are now enrolled to vote. More than 16,000 additional First Nations people are estimated to have enrolled to vote in the past year. UN Secretary-General Antonio Guterres has condemned Israel's latest military operation in Gaza, saying it is compounding an already catastrophic humanitarian crisis. Israeli forces have been pushing deeper into Gaza City, detonating explosive-laden vehicles in the suburbs of Sabra and Tel Hawa and killing at least four people in an airstrike on a residential building, though the location of the building remains unclear. But the Secretary-General says the Israeli military onslaught is forcing the population to constantly move and experience starvation. He says it is also concerned about the implications for the region and the world.
We are confronting one of the darkest chapters of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Nearly 2 years after the horrific Hamas terror attacks of 7 October and the devastating Israeli military response that followed, the violence has only deepened across the occupied Palestinian territory with grave threats to regional and global peace and security.
A formal face-to-face meeting between Anthony Albanese and Donald Trump has finally been agreed after a number of false starts. The Prime Minister missed a meeting with Mr. Trump during the UN leaders' gathering. Now the October 20th bilateral in Washington has been confirmed by Mr. Albanese on the sidelines of the United Nations General Assembly in New York.
San Francisco, San Diego, Philadelphia, Washington, Seattle, here. So it will be my 7th visit to the United States as Prime Minister. The United States is an important relationship for us. And today the meetings, as I foreshadowed, in spite of some of the commentary.
New South Wales Police finally has a new commissioner 5 months after former Commissioner Karen Webb announced her early retirement. Mal Lanyon will take on the top job from the 1st of October after serving as a Deputy Police Commissioner since 2019 and leading the New South Wales Reconstruction Authority in the Northern Rivers in 2022. Premier Chris Minns says he is the right person for the job.
Mal has a distinguished, exceptional 38 years unrivalled years of experience in the New South Wales Police Force. He's led major operations for New South Wales Police and most recently led the disaster organisation in New South Wales, lifting up communities that have been devastated by natural disasters in the state. He is the exceptional leader that the New South Wales Police Force needs right now.
Gambling rates are rising in Australia. Aussies collectively lose $32 billion on legal forms of gambling every year, the largest per capita losses of any country in the world. A study of almost 4,000 people by the Australian Gambling Research Centre at the Australian Institute of Family Studies has now found 65% have gambled at least once in the past year, and more than 30% have said they gambled at least monthly. The study suggests almost 20% of people whose partner gambled weekly or more frequently have reported experiences of intimate partner violence, compared to 7% of those whose partners did not gamble. Students in New South Wales are to be allowed to use artificial intelligence to help with their homework as Australia's largest public school system rolls out its own generative AI chatbot. The state's public school students from Year 5 onwards will have free access to the Department of Education's app, New South Wales EDU Chat, from the start of Term 4. Acting Education Minister Courtney Huisos says the Education Department's app does not give full or direct answers. She says it attempts instead to foster critical thinking skills by encouraging students to ask guided questions and reason on their answers. And to sport now, a second-tier national football competition has been launched in Sydney to be known as the Australian Championship. There are 8 foundation clubs competing in the inaugural tournament, but 16 all up will compete in the contest, which is running after the end of the National Premier League season. South Melbourne versus Sydney Olympic will be the first game in the new competition, and that game will be broadcast on SBS in October. Sydney Olympic defender Ziggy Gordon has told SBS News he feels honoured to be taking part in that first game.
We're really excited, and obviously we're looking forward to how each game goes, and you know, we've got eyes on the prize, and that's to win the game come the 6th of December.
And now for a look at today's weather. Perth, sunny 29, Adelaide, partly cloudy 18, Melbourne, a shower or two 17, Hobart, showers 14, Canberra 19, Wollongong, sunny 23, Sydney, also sunny and 25, Newcastle, much the same, Brisbane, sunny 26, Cairns, partly cloudy 30, and Darwin, sunny and 35. And that is NITV Radio News.
Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio. Your community, your conversation. NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITB Radio, and I'm your host, Luana Grant. Still to come on the show today, we're joined by Wiradjuri man Geoffrey Johnson to discuss a recent shocking incident of vandalism in the central western New South Wales town of Narandra. And we also catch up with hip-hop artist Baker Boy. But first, here's the latest from our NITB news team. The family of an Aboriginal man who died in police custody in Alice Springs say they're still waiting for answers despite the completion of an autopsy and a police investigation. 24-year-old Kumanjai White lost his life after being restrained by two plainclothes police officers in an Alice Springs supermarket. NT Police have wrapped up their investigation and handed the brief to the Director of Public Prosecutions to decide if anyone will be charged. The two police officers involved also remain on duty. The family of Kumanjai White says the system has let them down, and they're deeply distressed by the lack of communication from police and the absence of independent oversight. They're also demanding the two officers be suspended.
We don't trust any of those people. We feel that we have been let down lots and lots of time. Previous times, we can't trust them anymore. So we can't trust anyone, really. That's why we're asking for an independent inquiry.
The Northern Territory's opposition leader is calling for the resignation of the Territory's Attorney General after failing to publicly disclose a potential conflict of interest relating to the driver in a fatal hit and run. 24-year-old Jake Danby was spared jail time last week over a hit and run that killed an Aboriginal man and injured another in Darwin. After the crash, Danby boasted about it in racist text messages to friends, calling the victims dogs and oxygen thieves. The NT's Attorney General Marie-Claire Boothby has confirmed Danby is her sister's stepson, but denies she or her office had any involvement in the case.
What they have done now puts their integrity in tatters when it comes to the faith in the justice system, faith in independence, and faith in the government that they will do the right thing when there are conflicts of interest.
And if that story has raised concerns for you or anyone you know and you'd like to talk about it, you can connect with 13 Yarn on 13 92 76. And now to part two of our exclusive interview with Cathy Freeman, marking the 25th anniversary of her gold medal winning run at the Sydney Olympics.
I've never felt stopped by what other people have trying to project onto me. I just haven't, and I think that's where that sort of self-determination piece comes in. Who do I want to be? I want to be someone who feels free. I want to feel free, and I want to feel happy, and I want to be who I truly am. I don't need to rely on others. See, this is an interesting challenge for me, is that because at the heart of who I am, I'm actually a really shy Murray kid. I was that kid who often wore caps, even through high school, over my face and, you know, not a lot of eye contact. And so you've got to find yourself a place within yourself at all times to navigate, because it can get quite, it can be heady, it can be tumultuous. I decided when Sydney was announced 7 years previous I was going to take it and use it to my advantage. I mean, you know, I was just not prepared to let the attention, you know, take away from this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And it's interesting you say that, because the next question I was going to ask you is about your sort of fierce rivalry coming into the race, Maria Jose Parek. She pulled out of the race.
How confident do you feel at the moment?
I remember I was in the warm-up track, and my heart actually dropped. I was, you know, there was a moment there, and I was just so, that's a shame. I'm disappointed for myself, but at the same time, I hope she's okay. Athletes have to be, if you can't control it, you know, those uncontrollables, there's no point even giving an iota of a moment of your thoughts, because it just takes away from your energy. And I think athletes, when they're on the verge of, or performers or when they're on the brink of doing something that they've waited so long for, you intuitively know your own nature. And I knew how to protect my energy. In my mind as an athlete, it was probably the simplest version of Kathy Freeman, because my life as an athlete is just so simple. It's just training, rest, recovery, training, rest, recovery. It's like this cycle, and everything in life is geared towards just optimal performance. And it's just so, it's so cut and dry, so black and white, so simple.
Now let's hear from another Sydney 2000 Olympian. Nova Peris was the first Australian to run with the Olympic torch in the relay. The talented athlete won gold throughout her career and then turned to politics, where she became the first Aboriginal woman to be elected to federal parliament.
It was me achieving my childhood dream, even though I'd won Olympic gold in hockey at the 96 Olympics. But to actually go out and run for Australia, you know, that was my childhood dream, was to run at the Olympics. In the lead up to it, you know, carrying the Olympic flame, I'll never forget that. That was on June the 8th out of Uluru, and it was like 0 degrees that morning. We had Sir William Dean, who had the Olympic flame in the lantern. And you had the four Uluru brothers and the three old ladies.
The flame is alight now on Australian soil.
And I'd actually made the decision to run with no shoes on. And that old lady said, "No shoes, Nova." I said, "No, sign of respect for this sacred country and this sacred land." That was just a phenomenal moment there. And I'd hidden my daughter, Jess. I said, "You can't," because the rules were no one is to run with the Olympic torch bearer. And try telling that to a 10-year-old daughter who said, "I'm running with you, Mum." I guess it was a sacredness and it was something special. And then I came back to Darwin. I flew straight back here, actually to this very place where I was training for the Olympics and for Olympic trials.
We are going to run an Australian record here, I think. Paris comes through. I reckon we've broken the record.
I anchored in the 4x4 and we broke a 24-year-old Australian record and then came out and ran the Olympic final. For me, it was about achieving that childhood dream, and that little girl from Darwin that dreamt big and just wanted to go on and run for her country.
Say hello to my nana back home in Darwin. Love you, Nana.
You know, I often think about Kathy there in the space age suit, the Nikes. She looked absolutely stunning with her red lipstick on, and that was just two proud Aboriginal women. You know, you couldn't have scripted history better than what it came out to be.
What a legend. What a champion.
A message is for the kids also is never forget the journey that gets you to the destination. It's that 1%. You've got to just ensure that there's no stone left unturned.
NITV Radio, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 1 p.m. or anytime online. www.sbs.com.au/NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. Last Sunday in Narendra, a small country town in central western New South Wales, racist graffiti covered the Wiradjuri honour wall. Geoffrey Johnson is a local Wiradjuri man and had a chat to NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Barry to discuss this recent shocking incident of vandalism.
So I'm a Narendra Wiradjuri man. I'm living here in Narendra on the Murrumbidgee.
And there's been an incident that's happened in Narendra town recently. Can you tell us what happened?
No, I was just walking through the park on the Sunday. I was taking my partner and a little boy to lunch, and we've got a Narendra Wiradjuri honour wall, which honours my great-grandfather and my grandfather who served. My great-grandfather served in First World War, and my grandfather and his brother, Uncle Billy, both were part of the 2nd 13th Battalion, which served as recruits of Tobruk. So it's a war that honours them as Anzacs, and also it honours community members that have excelled from Narendra, you know, that have gone through the hard times of living on missions and excelled in their own fields of work or sporting achievements. So it's a war that sort of honours our people from Narendra and from the Sandhills, and it's just an important part, and it's something that our community has a lot of pride in.
On Sunday, when you saw this graffiti on the memorial, how did it make you feel? What went through your mind?
I was angry and disappointed. I believe we live in a really beautiful little town on the river here, and the community is, you know, really good. We've got a good community, and I was just surprised to see something like that on a wall that represents our mob in so many ways. And it's just, it was horrifying to see. Like, I've got a young family, and it's something that I don't want them to experience, that type of rhetoric. And I've gone through my own situations and troubles with this sort of stuff growing up, and there's no way that I want my children to go through that. So for me, it's about addressing it straight away, making sure that people know that it's wrong and we're not going to stand for it. And the good thing about the community with me putting it online is that the community as a whole sort of condemned what's been written there, and they've shown support. But, you know, when anything like this pops its ugly head up, we need to tap it on the head, you know, and put it in its place, because it's got no place in the community.
And you actually cleaned up the site, is that right? Jeff?
Yeah, well, we had another community member come along, and they've seen it and they've cleaned it up. I actually thought it was a council that had it done, but someone had already taken it upon themselves to get rid of it, because they had their children down here as well playing in the park, and they didn't want them to see it. So, you know, it's not just our mob that's, you know, disgusted in this sort of stuff. It's, you know, everyone's sort of getting behind it and know that it hasn't got a place in our community. So they wanted to, yeah, just to express just people in the community expressing their concern and discuss it in the swastika and, you know, white power comment that's put there. It's, you know, and just they're trying to make a point by placing on a wall that honours our people that have, you know, achieved good things in their life. And even our servicemen, you know, they've gone and fought for the country and come back, and, you know, we've still got this sort of stuff going on, which is just bad, terrible to see, you know.
And it's so awful that you were walking through that park on Sunday with your partner, your young one as well. How do you explain it to children, an incident like this? Did you have to explain it to your child, Jeff?
No, I didn't have to explain it to my child, but I shouldn't have to explain it to my children, that this stuff's still around, and it's what we're seeing going on down in the capital cities with this nationalist movement and that. It's just, it's hurtful to see, but I don't want to have to explain. We're in a time and age where we shouldn't have to explain this stuff to our children, that this is what this means. And it's, you know, if we're in the 1960s, and yes, there's a time where our people's really struggled with this, all this sort of stuff. It was just blatant and it was a normal thing, but not now. We're past this.
And how are your fellow countrymen feeling about this, the rest of the Wiradjuri mob that you've been talking to? What are their sentiments, Jeff?
Well, there's a lot of anger, and it's the same feelings. We're trying to move forward, and we're just tired of it, to be honest. Tired of it, and, you know, I've got children to bring up in this town and in this society that we've got, and it's just, we've seen this stuff has just takes us back. You know, and I think, don't worry, we've got plenty of good people out there that support it and they want to live in cohesion. But, you know, when you see this stuff, ugly stuff pop their head up, and it's just like, come on, very narrow-minded people.
And what would you say to those that were listening to this interview today? What would be your message to them?
Grow up, to be honest. Grow up, get over yourself. You know, we're not going nowhere, and... You know, we've got a good country. We just need to work things out. Don't be, you're fallen behind, to be honest.
Is there anything else you'd like to mention while we've got you on the line today, Jeff, here on NITV Radio?
No, just to our mob, just, you know, stand strong. Don't let this sort of stuff deter you. Achieve what you can. Dream big. Chase your dreams. Yeah, and yeah, just stay solid. Don't let this stuff deter our determination. And just keep, you know, being proud and staying strong for your families.
Thank you so much for your time today on NITV Radio, Jeff Johnson from Narrandera. Thank you so much, bro.
No worries.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio and I'm your host, Luana Grant. And that was Baker Boy with his track Black Magic. And speaking of Baker Boy, this Saturday in Naam, he'll be performing at the AFL Grand Final. The pre-game entertainment has been announced with American hip-hop artist Snoop Dogg, the headline act. And hip-hop artist Baker Boy will also be on stage alongside Emma Donovan and Kian. He'll be performing his latest single, Thick Skin, in front of an estimated 100,000 people in attendance. NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Barry took some time out to yarn with Baker Boy at the SBS studios ahead of his performance this Saturday.
Hi, Danzel. Thank you for joining us today, NITV Radio. Who's your mob and where are you from?
So I'm Danzel Baker. I'm a Yolngu man from Northeast Arnhem Land, top of Northern Territory.
Baker Boy, tell us about what's happening on Saturday for the AFL Grand Final entertainment gig. Snoop Dogg's going to be there. You're going to be there. What's going down?
Well, you know, I'm going to be performing, you know, at the AFL Grand Final. This is going to be my second time performing at the Grand Final. The first one was in Perth, but this one's going to be something special and something different as well. You know, it'll be my first time performing at the Grand Final at the G. I heard there's going to be like 100,000 people, so that's more very, very confronting, but yeah, it's going to be very exciting. I'm looking forward to it. I know all the mob will be watching back home and stuff, so yeah, I think it's going to be proper deadly, you know, and I'm just super excited to be, you know, there and, you know, sharing the stage alongside Snoop and all that. So I think that's going to be deadly as well. Can't wait to be there.
You said there it's going to be special and different. I don't want to ask too many questions because I know you can't give too much away, hey, about the big day and what you'll be doing on stage. But I do know you'll be performing a new single. Can you tell us about that? It's called Thick Skin.
Yeah, so I'm going to be performing Thick Skin. I'm going to be having, you know, Emma Donovan and Kian as well, part of the choir there. And this one, something's going to be, like, really, really exciting, you know, and this is going to be the first time performing live, which I'm very stoked and kind of nervous for, especially when it comes down to, like, the track Thick Skin, because, you know, it's a proper deadly song, you know, very something different, you know, that I've been, you know, working towards as, you know, it's got the punky element with the hip-hop, with the choir, the finish, and, you know, it's just, it's a really banger of a track, so I'm definitely looking forward to be performing this one live.
And what's it about in a nutshell, the single?
Well, the single was kind of came about, you know, after the referendum result, and I was kind of like really looking forward to, you know, the result and stuff, but then, you know, really expected, you know, how the result happened. So, and then, you know, just feeling kind of, you know, the whole atmosphere and all that just being all heavy and all that. So I started, you know, during working towards and, you know, working on that project and stuff, and then seeing, you know, the result after the referendum, I kind of wanted to, like, you know, get this feeling out of my system, because, you know, it was just, you know, distracting me from focusing on the record and stuff. But then didn't expect this track, you know, this feeling that I had was going to turn into a track, and then, you know, and then have, you know, Black Choir be part of it as well, and just trying out this punky element with still Baker Boy feel to it, that Beastie Boy sort of vibe, and yeah, and just finishing off with the choir. And then, you know, the first time I heard it, I had absolute goosebumps, and just, you know, just felt really, really, I don't know, like powered, you know, very, felt like I could be very comfortable and confident in my own skin.
And you're performing alongside Emma Donovan and Kiana, as you mentioned, beautiful song women from our community.
Yeah, especially when, like, in the track, if you hear Emma, and I can't wait to hear her live perform at the stadium, and, you know, her, you know, the soulful, you know, voice, and every time she goes crazy, like, your body just goes, wow, what is this?
Yeah. And Kian.
And Kian as well. Yeah. Definitely amazing voice as well. You can tell the uniqueness of, like, each artist and stuff, and, you know, they're really amazing. And I'm glad that I, you know, reached out to them to be part of the performance as well, which I can't wait to actually, you know, show everyone. And it's just going to be proper mad. Well, album Jane J will be releasing on the 10th of October, which is going to be on the day of my birthday. So it's going to be pretty amazing. So if you might want to buy me a present, buy the album.
Buy the album.
That would be proper deadly.
So singles release now, is that right? And then album release later?
Yeah, well, Thick Skin already kind of came out. And so this one will be pretty exciting. First time performing it live will be at the grand final. So if you're not watching it, you can rewatch it on wherever, what channel it'll be on. But if you do, please, hopefully you might enjoy the performance.
And you mentioned early part in this conversation that your mob from up north will be watching you, your family, your community members. How important is it for you that they get to see little brother on stage there, little brother, big brother? On
well,
stage there.
I guess just, like, you know, it's proper deadly when you see, you know, mob performing, especially when you know they're, like, related to you and stuff, and you go, wow, look at them go, like, seeing them somewhere, it's going to be, like, proper big and stuff. And I remember, like, when I performed at Perth, and, you know, just getting a lot of phone calls, and like, oh, we saw you on TV, you were breaking it down and stuff. And, like, I remember when I was a kid and I was watching, like, you know, people, I used to watch, like, the opening performance and all that stuff as well, and which was pretty, like, entertaining, and it was pretty mad. And then watched the whole grand final and stuff, and hearing everyone screaming and yelling and stuff. But yeah, so they got a phone call from all the family after performing and stuff, and then they, like, was very excited, and, you know, which made me go, wow. Because, like, when I was performing, it was surreal that it happened so quick, that I was like, now I got all this energy, what am I going to do with this? Like, I need to get out, like, I need to go back there and perform, or, like, do more songs and stuff. But, yeah, like, I can't wait to do, I mean, I can't wait to feel the same feeling that I had in Perth, but here, at the G. So, and this one's more kind of, like, special. I missed out a few opportunities to perform at the G, so this one's going to be a very special one.
Well, have a deadly day Saturday. All the best
with
the grand final performance.
No, thanks for having me.
No, thanks for coming in. And good luck with the album release as well. You'll be busy, no doubt, ticketing around.
Yeah, going crazy.
Crazy promoting that album there.
No, definitely.
And we'll catch you next time. Thanks.
No, thanks.
Baker Boy.
And that was NITV Radio's Kerry Lee Barry with Baker Boy in the SBS studios. And Baker Boy's new album, Jan Jay, will be available next month on October 10th. Now let's take a listen to his latest single, Thick Skin.
On radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio. Join the conversation on radio, online, and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
And that's all we have time for on today's program. You can catch up on any of our stories on our website at sbs.com.au. NITV Radio will be back on Friday with more stories from right across the country. I'm your host, Luana Grant. Mundungor, thanks so much for joining me and have a great day.
Lowe's knows how to help make your home holiday ready for less. Get Select Style Selections vinyl flooring for just $1.99 per square foot and have it installed before the festivities begin. Our team can help you every step of the way. See a Lowe's Red Vest associate or visit lowes.com/holiday install to get started. Lowe's, we help, you save. Basic install only. Date restrictions apply. Subject to availability. Install by independent contractor. See associate for details. Contiguous US only.